I want you to sing it with all your heart.
I am free, free, free. I am free. Jesus' breath, the chains that bound me, I am free. Life has
Father, we thank you. Deliverance has been wrought in the name of the Lord, and it is permanent. It is permanent. It even goes beyond you. It goes to the generation that are locked up in you yet unborn. Your children and children's children shall enjoy the glory of this freedom. Whatever you have struggled with up until now, that by the prayer of faith has been destroyed. Not only for you to enjoy the victory, your children will enjoy it. Even your children's children will enjoy it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As we are coming, myself and my wife, I just ask her a question. Who married Rahab? Who married Rahab? A Judah. Salmon. Now go back to Judah. He's a man that halfway lay with Alot. Alot is his business. He just go around. Check. In fact, he Alot so much that he Alot his own daughter-in-law. So perverse that allotry is his business. He goes around everywhere. He did it so much that he didn't even know it was his daughter he was sleeping with. Can you see how somebody could be so So perverse. So it runs through the lineage. When they went in to spy the land, I'm sure it was that Judah man. Let's go into the house of Eliot. Though my wife excuses and said, well, the Eliot house is always the safest place. Yeah, but you get some questions we need to ask. A lot of places they could have hide. But he said, let's go and hide in the house of an Eliot. And of course, you knew what happened. He ended up marrying that same Eliot. No wonder when David came to the scene, David, a mighty man of war, conquering and conquering nations, when it comes to morality, he failed woefully. As if that is not enough, look at his son Solomon. So you see an history trading itself from the great-great-grandfather. And that's what caused the house of David the throne, except for one that was left. They were supposed to rule over the house of Israel forever. Because of immorality, they lost it. Neither you nor your children. In the name of Jesus. So you can say, I am what? Free. I am what? Free. Declare your liberty. Declare your freedom. They will not declare it for you. Nobody will declare it. You have to declare it and enforce it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now you have gotten that victory. We are going to do one more exercise. And it's very important. Tolu, when he came up, he said something. He mentioned business. How many of us heard that statement come out of his mouth? How many of us heard it? Business. He said, you shall be in God's business. You know, Jesus Christ said, I'm about what? So it means that God is a businessman. Let's just put it in our day-to-day language. He's what? A businessman. He does business. He does business. Who wants to do business with God? Who wants to invest in God's business? You want to invest in his business. Let me see your hands up. If you are sure you want to invest in God's business, okay. Hallelujah. You are going to do that today. But the yield of that interest will not come to you. It will come to Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready? You are going to seed the yield of that business. You are going to give it to who? Jesus. Because he's the owner of it. Okay? So you will tell the Father, you pray consciously now and deliberately with all your heart, Lord, I invest my heart in the business of your kingdom. And let all the gain that come from it accrue to Jesus alone. Nothing to me. Jesus must get his full reward. Hallelujah. So if you understand that prayer point, I want you to go and transact with God today. That Lord, this heart, only one I have, I don't have two. I invest it. I drop it in your laps. Make business with it. To glorify your son, Jesus. Pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord. Make that commitment to God today. And I tell you, you will never be the same again. Say, Lord, I give you my heart as an investment into the business of your kingdom. That is all that God is interested in. That we invest our hearts. That is the part he's really interested in this whole matter. In the whole of you, all is his, that heart, that is his own. So say, Father, I am investing it in your kingdom work, your kingdom business, both on earth and in the heavens. Let my heart serve your interest. And let all the return of that business go to Jesus. All the gain of it, let it be to Jesus. Father, I pray. Jesus alone we take all the glory and all the praise and all the rewards, all the gain that come from this transaction, let it be to Jesus alone. Therefore, thank you, Lord. Oh, lepro nikaboshtin alimasai. Elam predikaboshtin alimasai. Elam predikaboshtin alimasai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It is so. In Jesus' name. Now, don't go back and take it again. No? Don't go back and say, Lord, where is it? I want to go. No, it's gone. It's gone. It's with him forever. And the glory shall be to him alone. That you will rejoice continually. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the prayer of faith. And we thank you for the dedication and the commitment you have enabled us to make in the light of your presence amongst us. Father, we bless your name. And now, Lord, as we go further to further receive enlightenment on how we can continue keeping this victory, Lord, we ask for further light. We ask for further illumination to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So we continue on our meditation on digging deep our heart. And I want to start by asking a couple of questions. How many of us here, let's put a scale on it. Put a scale on it in your heart. The things you know from the Bible, the truth you know from the Bible, how many percentage of it are you practicalizing? Are you experiencing? How many percentage of what you know to be true in the Word of God is true in your practical life, in your day-to-day life experience? Jesus Christ gave us a scale. He said, the prince of this world cometh. That means I have 100%. Everything I know to be true, when the prince of this world comes to check it out, is true in my life. That's what he's telling you. Everything I know from the Bible that is true about God, when the tempter came to check it out, he found everything to be true. I'm 100%. So, how many percentage are you and me? Okay, how many is 100% here? So, and you know God's pass mark is 100%. So even if you are 99%, you are still not passed. So, what do we do? How do we get about this? How do we get about these differences? Now, if God give you another, say, 200 more years to live, will you be able to make it to that 100%? If you know you are, if all you need is just to live on the earth for 200 years, and then everything you can say, yes, 100%. Let me see your hands up. Okay, 1,000 years. Even Methuselah did not live up to that. 1,000 years. Just God, all I just need is more days. All I just need, don't worry, God, I will make it. You know that foolish person? He's owing somebody with $1 billion. He said, no worry, I will pay it back. That's the pride of man. Even if God give all of us 1 million years and we continue the way we are doing, we will still be a failure. So God must do a quick work. Hallelujah. There must be an acceleration. And I perceive in my spirit, brethren, that time of that acceleration is here. Where things that you want to do before and you could not even move a step, you find over not only moving a step, but taking a great leap. Ah, you are still not getting what I'm saying. I said, a time of help is coming. He said, in the day of my power, my people shall be what? They will not be deal. Should I give myself to God or not? They will be a volunteer. They will be willing offering. in the day of my power. And I want to tell you, brother and sister, we are right at the threshold of the day of the power of God. We are at the very verge of the breaking forth of the day of the power of God. And whatever has been so precious to you that you are finding difficult, without anybody talking, you will let it go. You will be a willing offering, a willing sacrifice, ready. Nothing will terrorize you anymore. Nothing will mean anything to you in this world but to fulfill the pleasure of the King of Kings. You will be ready to hazard your life that the King of Kings might have his pleasure fulfilled. They did that for David. You remember that? Said, I'm thirsty, I want water. Just ordinary king. Two men. They broke through the garrison of Philistine, like today USA. Can you imagine USA with their military tank and all their arsenal standing, and two men break through them to go and bring water for a king? Ah! Jesus must have more than that. Men and women that will arise, their life will mean nothing to them. That is what God is building. And I can see your faces glowing with that glory, with that zeal. All of you will be mightily used of God to bring to pass this world. Nothing. That's what God is raising us up here to do. And God will bring it to pass in your life. So even if you are 99%, do not rejoice yet. There is still 100%. 100% and 99%, which one is better? God has 100% for you. Say, God has 100% for me. And the beauty of it is this. Let me tell you, that you didn't score 100% does not mean the enemy has the remaining 40%. Are you still with me? Does not mean, I have 60%, the enemy has 40. Lie. Don't be so. That's not the way the mathematics of God work. The 40% is still with God. He's keeping it in stock. That's why God is the best lecturer. You know, the other lecturer will keep that one to themselves. They say, that one is your own. But God is keeping it for you. So the day you come and say, Father, I'm ready. You are ready. Take 20 more. So maybe 60 before 80. And you go and do. God, this 80 is not enough. I want more. I see Jesus Christ. Say, take 10 more. And you keep on growing and keep on growing and keep on growing until we reach that 100%. And I tell you, before this age is rounded up, before this church age is rounded up, a people with 100% that can stand and say, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me, will surely arise. And you and me are being prepared for such arrangement. You will make it in Jesus' name. And I will make it. The center of it all is our heart. The turning point, the very fulcrum of it, is the heart. The heart of a man is the very center. How far you'll be able to go, how much you'll be able to be used of God, depends on what? The heart of your heart. And that's why I believe God is leading us this way. So please pay attention. Beyond what I'm saying, because me too, I've not reached the 100. I'm striving for it. So some of you may have even gone beyond me. So let's all strive together, isn't it? Until we make it. Our heart is the center. Once the heart is right, the man is right. Paul said something. He said, the things I will, I find myself unable to do. How many? Romans chapter 7, isn't it? The things I want to do, that is, there's a struggle, that's an internal struggle in that man. There's an internal struggle. He was struggling. Said, I know the things to do. I know the correct thing. But when I want to do it, I find another thing working in me, disallowing me. How many are experiencing such
thing. You know that this is the thing I'm supposed to do. But somehow there is an opposition. There's something that is militating against you. In the name of Jesus, all those militations have come to an end. Amen. It's part of the prayer we pray just now. So rise up by faith. Rise up. Like when God speak to the man without hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. The man did not start thinking, okay, how? He just stretched it forth. The same way God said, rise up. That thing you are finding difficult to do, begin to do it. Just begin to do it. Say, how do I start? Start. What are the things? Are you finding it difficult to walk before? Begin to, even if it is, begin to stomp the leg. Stomp it on the ground. If that's all you can do to start walking, stomp the leg. Okay, let's bring it more practical. You want to be prayerful. You want your prayer life to increase. And here you are. You just sleep all through the night. You only pray when you remember, oh, Brother Daniel is going to pray this, preach this, and he's going to ask how many. So let me quickly pray. But that is changing. So how do you start? Start mechanically. Start putting things in place. Start arranging things. If need be, like I put on an alarm walk. And like I said, when you want to do that, when the alarm wake you up, what do? You stay on your bed and start praying. Get up on your bed. Begin to do it. You might be feeling sleepy. Let it be a sacrifice to the Lord. God will accept it. So the things you are finding difficult, the thing that is opposing you, by the prayer of faith and the anointing of God that has come upon us today, you have what it is. You have the word of God to go forth and begin to do it. And our brother prayed, and he said, the power of God followed the word of God. Whenever the word of God goes for the power of God accompanying, the power of God is following you. Put that power to work by faith. Hallelujah. Put that power to work by faith. He said, according to the power that worked towards us that believe, that power will not be in vain. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You will not remain here. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I will do, I not. That I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Is that good? What I hate, that's what I do. Is that a good state to stay? I say, okay, but Paul said it. How many want to stay in that realm of Paul? Say, okay, Paul, after all, Paul, after is the Bible. And Paul, it's not somebody, Paul, man Paul. Even said it. And you can use that to justify your action. Say, the things I hate, I do. I hate lust, but I'll do it. I hate to be prayerless, but I find myself prayer and I do it. After all, Paul did it. But go to the last verse. Go to the last verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. No, go to the verse before, I think. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Then the last verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I serve the law of God. But with my flesh, the law of sin. Now, that's a challenge there. Okay, so my mind, the law of God. My flesh, the law of sin. And then we close the Bible and leave it there. Okay. So we go to where? Chapter 8. There is now no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So with my mind, I serve the law of God. With my flesh, the law of sin. So I have a choice, the law of God or the law of sin in the flesh. And don't make a mistake about that. That you are born again, talking in tongue, your flesh, you still obey the law of sin. Are we together? Your spirit is born again, no problem. You have a new heart, no problem. But your flesh still serves the law of sin. And of death. Until the full redemption of the purchased possession. Until the redemption of our body, this earthly body, we still continue to serve the law of sin. So don't be deceived. Don't think, oh, I'm born again now, sin is over. No, the law of sin is still there. The law of sin. And it's a law, which means you must obey it. If you choose to obey it, that is a law. So, go on to the next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free, hallelujah, from the law of sin and of death. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. So somebody can stop in chapter 7 and end it there. That person will be miserable. But when you come to chapter 8, you now see that there is a law called the law of the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. It's the law of the Spirit of life. It's the law of the Spirit of life. And what does it do? It sets you free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because man must obey law. Man is a law creation. He is never free from law. Everything about man obeys a law. That is a law that governs man, whether he knows it or not, whether he wants it or not. Man is governed by a law. The sin of Adam brought man under a law that he did not bargain for. It was imposed upon him by sin of one man. The law of sin and death. Jesus Christ, by a wave of hand, could have taken that law away, but he chooses not to do that. To introduce another law called the law of the Spirit of life. And you know law has power. How many know that law has power? Okay, if you don't know, go and drive anyhow in the street of you will know what the power of the law is. No. If you want to, the law doesn't have power. Just go and see an RSMP vehicle coming and drive anyhow. You will know that law has power. Now, that's the natural law. Even spiritual law has a greater power. But God says something about the law. Where is the law of God? Where? In our heart. He wrote it there. That's why he put his law. So once you are born again, the law of the Spirit of life take control of your heart. And God give his attention to that place. And if you will yield to that and allow your mind to connect to the law of the Spirit of life in your heart, you will always walk in victory over the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So, the arithmetic, the equation, is so simple. It's not complex. God is not giving you which one is that one that is so complex? Trigonometry and all those things. No, it's not giving you all the arithmetic of God is so simple. Is the theologians and all the Jians that want to make it complex. It's so simple. That even a child that is born again today can relate to it and walk in it. So, let's go straight. Go to the book of Psalm. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, yes, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be a translation called the voice. the voice. Do we have it? The voice. Okay, let me read it in the voice translation. The voice translation says, explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Has anybody found it? The voice. Explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Put me to the test and watch on how I handle the strain. Examine me to see if there is any evil bone in me, and guide me down your path of life forever. Does anybody see it? The voice. Okay. Oh, okay. So explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. And we'll be talking about digging deep. Here the psalmist, he said, God, dig deep in me. And that is the cry, the prayer every one of us should pray to God. And I want to give it to you as an assignment. Every day of the week. Just try it for 1 week. Just try that prayer for 1 week. Just for 1 week. You will never want to stop it. Just, whether it is in the voice or in the King James Version, just read it. So God will dig deep in you. And what is it? The depth of God will call to your own depths. And there will be fellowship of depths. Koinonia in depths. That is depth in God. And God wants you and me to relate to that depth in him. So the proverb man said what? Deep call unto what? Unto deep. The deep in God will call unto your deep. And the deeper you are in him, the deeper you allow him to explore you, the deeper he, make no mistake, he knows everything about your heart. He knows what your heart is today. He even knows what your heart will be tomorrow. He knows everything about your heart. There's nothing about the state of your heart that is unknown to him. But the question is, do you know it? Do you know the state of your heart? Do you know things about your heart? So when he's saying, know my heart, what he's saying indirectly is that, Lord, know it and cause me to know it. Cause me to be aware of it. The greatest deception is when a man is deceived by his own heart. That is the greatest deception. But when a man is familiar with the state of his heart, under the light of God, not to condemnation, but to repentance, that man will go far with God. That man will build a solid foundation with God. When you know the state of your heart, when you know when your heart is going off track, and you know how to call it back, you will go far with God. But when a man is ignorant of what is in his heart, that man will soon fall to great deception. Why are we saying this? Jesus Christ said, in the last day, there will be a lot of what? Deceptions. One of the things Jesus Christ spoke about our day is what? Deception. He said, if it were possible, even the very elect would be what? Would be deceived. If it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. But thank God it is not possible. Because God will keep the very elect in his hand. Deception is running rampant. But you and me cannot be deceived. You will not be deceived. And the antidote against this is to know your heart. Once you are ignorant of it, it is that ignorance that the enemy uses. We talk about familiar spirit, we bind them, we destroy them, and they are gone forever. But what did Jesus Christ say about a man that you cast out a demon from? And he left the place vacant. What happened? And they become more stronger. The thing you can fill your mind with, to fill your heart with, is the knowledge. And to know your heart. The book of Proverbs spoke about a man that is void of understanding. And he went into an harlot's house. Going down the path of the way of an harlot. The problem of that man, apart from the fact that he doesn't have understanding, is the fact that his heart is deceiving him. His heart is not right. Let's take a typical example, day-to-day life. A young man, a young girl, you just met her maybe for the first time, or you met him for the first time. And before you open your eyes and close it, you're already having a chemistry towards each other. You're already having you're already having something else towards each other. I don't know what to call it. And it's, pardon? Attraction. Thank you very much. Attraction. I'm not a spiritual one. And a deceived-hearted man will make you spiritual. I just want to go and minister to her, you know. She's really having a lot of problems. Oh, he's really having a lot. He actually needs me. I need to go and minister the Bible to him. Because you are deceived. But when you can see into your heart and say, the reason why I'm going there is not because I want to minister to her. The reason is I'm lusting after her. And you can call it the name, lust. Say, God, there is lust in my heart towards this person. That is God digging deep. That's God digging deep. Oh, you know, I just like that brother. I just like to be with him. He could be hiding under the guise of envy. But the moment you can pick it and say, this is envy, this is lust, and cry to the Lord, what does he do? He dig deep. He knows the root of it and pluck it out from the root. But a man without understanding will excuse it. You know, I'm just admiring God's creation, you know. I'm not lost, you know. I'm just looking at, yo, the man is just good, you know. Oh, God's creation is beautiful, not lie, not lost. Or you can just be sincere with yourself. And the Bible called our feast the feast of what? Sincerity and truth. He said, I desire truth in the inward parts. Well, you can just be truthful. And that is what dig in the heart. The truth is what dig in and dig in and bring out everything that is abominable. A man who does that consistently will never miss it with God. Will never miss it. Will never go astray. That's why God called David the man after my heart. Go and search. We will read some of them. The book of chapter 119. Lot of things. How shall a young man keep his way perfect? By doing what? Said, thy word have I done? Thy truth have I what? That I may not sin against you. The truth in the heart. He said, the Lord desireth truth in the inward part. And thou shalt make me to know the way of salvation. In the hidden part, and make me to know wisdom. Hallelujah. So the knowing of your heart, the accurate definition of the state of it, is the key to walking far with God and having a stable and a consistent walk with Him. Because while man in his natural state look at the outward appearance of man, look at what man says or hear or do, what God looks at is the heart. And when He see a perfect heart, when He see a pure heart, God see a gem, a ruby. A precious stone. Let us make our hearts such precious to Him. By the way we live, by the way we evaluate ourselves, your actions, your thought, we list them, your motives, evaluating them one by one and coming into the truth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the rein, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. The heart is deceitful above all things. And because of the deceit in the heart, the king of deceit always finds it an ally. Who is the king of deceit? Who is the king of deceit? Satan. So the heart of a man that have not yet been completely yielded to God, totally yielded to God, become a strong ally of Satan. So how does Satan get his own seed into that heart? By projections, by thoughts. And once that thought comes, whether by dream or whatever, comes into your mind, and because the mind is lacking in understanding, is darkened by the prince of this world, he cannot readily pick it. That this is a signal from another realm, not from the realm I know. Entertaining it, receiving it, make it to seep right into the heart. And once that continues over and over and over again, though a heart that is pure and holy given to you eventually become what? An unfaithful heart. So you can, that's why he said, guard your heart with what? All diligence. You can guard it from the place of your mind. Whatever does not pass through your mind cannot pass through your heart, cannot enter your heart. The mind is the first defense mechanism, the first line of defense. So it is very important for you and me in this last hour, in this day, in this time, when deceptions and lies become the order of the day, that you and me as believers should not toy with the state of our heart. Should continually, like Lamentations say, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41. What did he say? Let us lift up our heart with what? Our hands unto God. Unto who? Unto God in the heavens. With our hands. Lift it up unto God. And when we do that consistently in prayers,
In worship, what will God do with our heart? He will cut it open. He will dig deep into it. The things you don't even know exist that could be an embarrassment in tomorrow, he will reveal it to you today. He will not wait until you get embarrassed before and say, oh, I know this thing is there, but you know, I just want to know. He will let you know it today. Because God is not working for your fall. He's not having resources, only reserving it to wait for your fall. He's not saving you and at the same time destroying you. He has all the power to save you and save you to what? To the uttermost. And as we readily come to him, ready to change, ready to turn, what will he do? He will shine his light into the deep recess of our heart. And when he knows it, you know it. And the moment you know it, call it by the name it is. But once you call it by the name, you conquer it. Say, lost, you have conquered it. Say, lost, I can see you. The moment you call it that name, you have conquered it. But if you are asking, well, you know, that's my nature. No, it's a lie. Call it by the name. The moment you call it, you have first of all reduced its power. The remaining is to speak the word, and it will be destroyed. Pride, bitter anger, envy, all form of abominations of this world that locks around. The Bible says the whole world lies what? In wickedness, in evil. We dwell in the midst of it. How shall a young man in the midst of this total wickedness and darkness keep himself pure? Keep himself on. Let's look at this. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 1. Go there. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. How shall a man keep himself undefiled in the way? In the midst of the world that is full of defilement. How shall a man keep himself undefiled? And he said, blessed is the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Move to the next verse. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with what? With what? We are not sure. With what? The whole of their heart. Not with part of your heart. Not with some part of it. The whole heart. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. What is his testimonies? Hallelujah. Praise God. What is the testimonies of God that we must keep? The testimonies of God are his witness. Testimony and witness is the same. Are we still together? And we must be a diligent keeper of the witness of God. Jesus Christ said, for this purpose I came into this world to give what? Witness. Please, can you look for that verse? We're still coming to Psalm 119. So this reason I'm just paraphrasing it. Said to give witness to the truth. Jesus Christ came to give testimonies to the truth of God's word. So let's just continue. Shall we get it? He said, I came into this world for this reason, to give witness. Okay. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king? Then just answered, thou seest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Blessed are those that keep the witness that Jesus has bear to the truth. They will not be defiled in the way. The entire ministry of Jesus on earth, he said, this is why I was born. My birth is just to be a witness. Now, that put everything in another context that you and me must understand. That is only one place that witness is required, and there is only one occasion that witness is required. When the matter involves a judicial matter. There's only one place, a court. In a court proceeding, there is no case that is concluded without what? Without what? Without what? A witness. So it means that if Jesus Christ came to bear witness, it means that our struggle, our oppositions, the fight we are fighting is a court battle. It's a judicial warfare, like our brother Godson ministered to us. It's something that has to do with a case cause. There is an argument against you. There is a charge leveled against you. Untrue, it is lie, but it is laid against you. You buy a car. Let's just leave a literal example. You buy a car, $10,000. And somebody walking by your house, that car looks like my car. In fact, the color is like my own car. In fact, the glasses, everything looked like my own. And came knocking, pum, 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 pum. That car is my car. I said, that car is my car. Give me the key. I'm going with it. I bought it yesterday. I don't care where you buy it. That car is my car. And it's not staying here now. I'm taking it home now. Give me the key. You're going to bring the paper. I said, which paper? Don't, give me the key. Look at the color. Say, but look at the receipt I paid yesterday. Receipt called, receipt name. Throw it away. Look at the color. It's my green. Look, I even have the picture of the old. See the picture. See the picture. See me by the side. See my wife inside. Come on, give me the key, my friend. So what do? Ejo, sir. Oribe, ejo, babi, no. Then you go and meet your dealer. Say, dealer, that car you signed. Say, no, the car is true. I gave you the right car. See the landing paper. But see, somebody said it is color. It is his own color. Is it color you used to define who the ownership? Why didn't you tell him to give you his paper? You have the correct paper, but you didn't know. That's why God, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. You don't know. Because you don't know. Somebody else came and used a boju for you and took your car away. And maybe after taking it away, ship it to Africa. You can't see the car again. They look for the car. They can't see it again. And then you have to go back and begin to hop up on buses. Oh, my shame. Lack of knowledge. But what should you do when such situation comes? Say no. And then you call the police. Say, okay, we're going to court over this matter. Yeah, let's go. Because, well, you have a witness. The dealer is there. You have everything. They say, call your witness. The dealer comes. Yeah, I sold this car to this man at some other time. In fact, I have the photocopy of the receipt here. He bought it from me and all that and all that. Said, okay, the man struggling. Okay, call your witness. I don't know, but see the photograph. See the picture. See the picture. This is blue. It's in my, you see? This is my wife. See my face there. And he present the photo as his exhibit. Say, okay, exhibit one, picture. Well, your own exhibit. They see the receipt. They see the landing paper. They see the owner, the dealer, sign on it. They see you go to MPI, take all the receipts. It's in your name. The case is finished. Because you have abundant of witness.
So when you know your weakness, the case is finished. No, but no more argument. It's finished. That's why you need to know the witness. He said, to this end was I born, to give witness to the truth. So how much of the witness to the truth that Jesus gave do you know? How much of the witness that he gave about you do you internalize and have become past digested in your system? Your heart is so full of that witness that even when you wake up suddenly, it's not, is it morning, is it night? You know clearly. You are not confused. You are not begging around. Jesus Christ came to give witness, and you need that witness on this earth. So you need to know that witness. Witness number one, Jesus Christ gave. That it is possible for a man to live on the earth without sin. That sin is not compulsory. That sin is a choice. That's witness number one. Witness number two, that a man in flesh and blood can have a vital relationship with the immortal one on earth. Witness number two, that a man, a mortal man, in flesh and blood, that's why he came in flesh and blood, can have a vital relationship with the immortal, the invisible, the one that the whole creation longed to see. That is possible. Witness number three, that even when you sin, there is forgiveness. Not just a palliative forgiveness, an eternal forgiveness that is as though you have never sinned before. Witness number three. He said, the Son of Man has power to do what? He saw a man lying down or whatever, and he said to him, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And the religious say, no, how can that be? You are a man, I can, he was only God, I can. That's the witness he came to give. That as a Son of Man, I have authority to forgive sin. That's a witness. So you don't need to load over your sin. I don't care what your sin may be. There is a man that has brought forgiveness. A Son of Man that has brought forgiveness over your sins. It's gone. Did you see that verse? But that ye may know that the Son of Man, he didn't say the Son of God. The Son of Man, meaning that at last man has come to have dominion over sin. I have power to forgive sin. And he said unto him that the sick of us, oh yeah, rise up and go. Didn't even touch him. That's witness number three. So if the devil come accusing you of one sin, just laugh at him. My shield, you are ignorant. You don't know. You are mentally backward. In fact, you are 2,000 years out of shape. If they say you are one day out of shape, you should go and cry. If they say, bro, this thing is a stale news. It was yesterday's news, and you are carrying it today. Say, oh, I have the news. What is the news? Manitoba has just said, oh, that news was yesterday now. You should just quietly say, okay, I didn't know. Say, I knew about it. The news Satan is carrying about you is 2,000 years old. It's not the news. Don't get disturbed about it. Anything Satan says is 2,000 years out of use. It's no longer relevant. It's no more admissible in the court. So any witness is, I say, I saw you when you are doing the thing. I saw you. In fact, I saw you koro with my eyes. You did it. You sinned. You commit adultery. You did this thing. Tell him it's out of date. Tell him he doesn't have the correct version of the story. Don't go about crying, hey, we will pray for me. No, just tell him straight. That version you have is 2,000 years out of.
As long as you are born again, Satan has no right to level any sin against you. He said, who shall lay a charge against the elect of God? It is God that justifies. And I tell you, brother, sister, once no sin can be leveled against you, you are free. You are prosperous. You are blessed. You are free. Because the ground of operation of Satan is sin. So once sin has been removed, then you are free. That's witness number three, and you should know it. So you don't walk under condemnation, under guilt, and begin to repent and repent and repent. Now, repentance is good. We're going to come to that. But once you ask God for forgiveness over a matter, it is gone. Witness number two. Witness number three. Okay, that's number three, Abby. Number four. We pick that one in Hebrew. What says the time? Sorry. No way. Oh, okay. Hebrew chapter number 2, verse 14. Okay. For as much then as the children are partaker of the flesh and blood, he also likewise partook of the same, that he might through death destroy him that had the power of death. That is what? That is witness number three. The devil has been destroyed. His power of accusations, everything that pertains to the devil has been destroyed. He has the power to forgive sin. He has the power to make man to relate to God. He has the power to live without sin. A man, a son of man. You will live without sin. You will come to the estate of immortality and incorruptibility. Incorruptibility and immortality is a divine promise. And you will get there. I will get there. So it is possible to live on earth without sin. Say how? Jesus Christ did it. And if he do it, I will do it also. Because the spirit that raised him from the dead, that helped him, that's why I pray. I say, Lord Jesus, I know you did it. And if you do it, I can do it. Ha! Look at Peter now. He saw Jesus walking on the water. Ha! Who is walking? Jesus? That's the Son of God. Oh. He's the one doing it. Let's leave him alone. What did Peter say? He said, no, master, if you are the one, let me come. Let me come. Tell me to come. Hallelujah. And Peter just said, come. He didn't say, hey, I'm just joking. Oh, Jesus. It's not now. I didn't want to do. He said, Jesus, sorry. It was a slip of tongue. You know, I'm a very quick talker. I talk. Peter is the one that we talk sharply. He's one of those my slip of tongue. I'm sorry. Did he say that? Stood on the water. Wow, it works. Hallelujah. The word works. Who say I didn't walk on the water? Hallelujah. That's Jesus for you. So if he did it, you can do it. If he's doing it now, you can do it. Don't make yourself say, he's Jesus on the... No. His intent, his plan, his purpose is that you become like him. He said, a servant cannot be above his master. It is enough for the servant to be what? Like his master. So he's not in any way terrorized when you become like him, when you behave like him, when you act like him. He doesn't diminish him. In fact, he adjusts himself on the throne and says, yes, now that's my son. Coming up, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. That's what he wants. Be like him. In thought, in motive. Your heart. No, that cannot be in the heart of Jesus. What is he doing in my heart? No way. That's if you know his heart. And he didn't hide his heart. He made it open. Is there. Go and read it in the gospel. Go and read it in the law and the prophet. All of it contain the content of his heart towards you and me. So, the witness number four is that the devil has been destroyed. Satan and all his cohort have been destroyed. Completely destroyed.
And that was why before he left the earth, he said, I give you power to tread upon what? Serpent and scorpion, and over all the powers of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's witness number three. So, let's put them together. There are many other, but let's leave with that four. Okay. Sickness. That you can live a life without sickness. That's a witness to that. That he has healed all your diseases. Oh, no, no, no. Let me put it another way. Let me catch you. That he's going to heal all your diseases. No, no. That in some days to come, as we move on, he will just heal all our diseases. Okay, when he comes in the second advent, he will just heal you and all our diseases will appear. What did he say? Healed all our diseases. So you can say boldly, my body will never be sick. You can say it. You can lay a hand on yourself and say, body, hear me. Hear me and hear me well. No sickness, no disease will come upon you until the fullness of Christ set in. I refuse to be sick in this body. Say, what is your ground of doing that? Jesus Christ. Didn't they come to him and say, by which authority did you do this? By which authority? And that question is a reverberating question. You think, oh, this is Jesus Christ. They are asking you too. And you have to provide answers. By which authority do you say you cannot be sick in your body? When Apostle so-so-so was sick two years ago, anointed man of God, in such and such, he was, who are you to say? Just don't rush you. When the devil is saying, I like the way Tolu normally do it. He's looking for the arsenal, the correct one. It was because you cannot be throwing dagger when you're supposed to use arrow. You are trying to evaluate where it is coming from. Okay? So if you just take dagger, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. He will just be jumping like this, jumping like this. I rebuke you, he won't go anywhere. But all you need to do is to steady with your arrow pure in his heart. And he's gone forever. So don't rush. Sometimes you can even give him time, maybe one day. You are thinking in your mind what to say, what to reply, what witness to produce. And when the right word comes, bam, you give it. It will never come back again. It's gone forever. So don't be in a hurry. Just smile like Chesed is smiling here. I love that kind of smile. Smile. Just smile. Hallelujah. We are more than conqueror. We are full of life. By what authority? The witness of Jesus. You know how we came here? Psalm 119. Keeping his testimony. Keeping his witness. That is the witness. He came to give you witness. These are witnesses. So when the devil comes around trying to mess in, you say, you? Jesus Christ just looked and said, me? To turn stone to bread because I want to eat? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Where did that word come from? In his heart. His word is in his heart. Let the word of God be in your heart. You will never be want of what to say when you are called to question. Let his testimony, if you go back to Psalm, so that we can round up from there. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole of their heart. They are not double-minded, they are not double-hearted. The Bible said these people came with one heart. They are not, it's not, okay, we want to make him king so that we can be his deputy. No, 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 that's not it. Oh, no, let's make it David king. You know, David is from my genealogy. Let's make him king so that when he become king, maybe I can become, no. Only one heart. Why? David must be king. Whole heart. May we come to him with that whole heart. In Jesus' name. Go on. Okay. They seek him with the whole of their heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Go on. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precept diligently. I'm looking at where he said, how shall a man keep his way? And he said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy all thy commandments. Did you see that place? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Thy word is sharper than two edges, so you are consuming fire. Oh, thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. May we learn to hide the word of God in our heart, to keep his testimony in our heart, to look at it every day, and to use it effectively in this battle of life. May the testimony of God become our testimony. The Bible said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When you are a keeper of the testimony of Christ, his testimony becomes your testimony. And when his testimony becomes your testimony, everything he did, you are empowered to do the same. Did he not even say himself that this work shall you do and what? And greater shall you do. He has given us the key to do it. Keep his testimony in your heart. Hallelujah. Keep his testimony in your heart. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy work. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander away from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that is it, my brethren. A truthful heart. A sincere heart. A heart that is void of hypocrisy and lie and deceit. A heart that is true. Like I said last week, you tell a brother good morning and he went and have an accident. Please stop telling good morning to anybody. Just keep quiet. You get to him and you hear, oh, that brother, oh, yeah, he's done. Then please stop telling good morning. Go and pray and ask God to cleanse your mind and cleanse your heart. It means your heart is not really true. Your heart is not true. You are saying good morning from your lips. Your heart is not true. Hey, Brother Daniel, oh, how are you? Hey, oh, my brother, as long as I see you, how are you doing anything? But your heart is choking him with a dagger. A deceitful heart. Quit from all those things. Quit from all them. Be sincere and truthful. Whatever you are doing, whatever you are saying is exactly what is in your heart. A group of brethren were fellowshipping together somewhere. And if the eyes of a brother was open, and he saw a man in white came in. They were in a circle with a rod. He knocked the heart of this brother when it was open. And the brother could see it. Clean, clear. He knocked the heart of the other. The brother could see it. And that's how he did round. And he got up and said, where the prayer is going, this was in your heart. How did you know? Why did ministry, this was in your heart. This was in your heart. This was in your heart. And the brother said, and everybody was shocked. The brother now narrated what happened. Brethren, let us fear God. We are entering into that age, into that realm in God's work. Where as I'm talking to you, you will not hear what I'm saying. My heart will be open. The time is coming when the believer will communicate heart to heart. I don't need to speak to you mouth to mouth. Heart to heart will be talking. I'll be quiet and you'll be quiet and here we'll be conversing in our heart. That day is fast coming upon us. So if you're an individual who will be saying something to a brother and your heart will be somewhere, he will just tell you, brother, why are you doing that? Is this not what is in your heart while you are talking to me? Don't be ashamed. Many will be ashamed that day. Say, oh, how did you know? If Elisha, is Elisha walking that realm? His servant went out and do some business and came back, master, I'm with you. When you are going, I can see where you are going now. Why are you doing that? That was what caused the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Heart problem. Heart problem. You sell it for 200. Just tell us 200. And I'm giving the church 110. That's okay. How will you come and say, this is 200, though, and this is 20, meanwhile you keep 80 inside or whatever? How do you do that? Let's get ready, my brethren. Let's clear up the house. Let's clean up the house. Your heart is your house. That's where you live. That's your address. That's where God locates you. Keep it clean. Void of offense. Void of hypocrisy. Void of lie and deceit. Keep it clean. Be true within and without. Be able to search out everything. Everything. Live in a clean environment. Because your heart is your dwelling place. That's where you dwell. That's where God locates you. When God is looking for your address, he doesn't start looking for, he looks straight at your heart. That's where he locates you. So when he comes into your heart, can you imagine you have a room? Everybody here is a room, isn't it? Everybody have a room, no matter what. You have a room. Okay? And when you enter the room, everywhere, kitchen pot is here. Your bedroom, kitchen pot is here. Bedroom, something is here. Everywhere scatter. And it now falls to a day when there is no light. And everywhere is dark. Will you feel free to enter that room when you come back from a class? Will you feel free to enter that room? You enter that room, before you carry one leg, you have hit a pot. Bam. You carry another leg, you have hit a sponge case. Will you not say, let me go back to the sitting room and just lie down till tomorrow? Because it was all messed up. So you don't know, you cannot rest within it. It's full of agitations. You can't rest. Take time to put everything in their proper perspective. Clean up all the mess. Let's clean up our sanctuary. That's where we meet with him. That's where we commune with him. In the inner sanctum. The sanctum of God is your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the sanctum. That's where you commune with him. Face to face. But you remember in the day of Uzzah, what is the name of that king? The Bible said the sanctuary, the house to the door was shut. They have carried all manner of unclean things into the sanctuary. Hezekiah had to come, open the door, and bring them out and renew the kingdom. Let the Hezekiah in your life arise. Let it cleanse up all the things in the sanctuary, creeping things. The Bible called them the imageries of jealousy that stir up the Holy One of Israel to jealousy. Just there. God is jealous. He looks into your heart, and what he can see is, oh my God, what is this? In my holy place? Let's clean up the holy place. Let's go in the spirit of Hezekiah. Open up the temple. Go right into the holies of holy. Bring out everything that causes offense. Everything that causes defilement. Bring them out straight to where? To the brook of Kidron. To wash them away forever. Never to be remembered again. Let's bring before him a clean. So when you lift up hands, well, let it be what? Holy hands. Holy hands. Without what? Without wrath. Why? Because when you are lifting up your hand, like we read in Lamentation chapter 3, what are you doing? You are lifting up your heart. So when you say holy hand, holy heart unto the Lord. Void of offense. Void of offense. I have vowed to the Lord and made a commitment to the God of Israel that every one of his children that I have opportunity to relate with anywhere, anytime, what I say to them outside is what is inside my heart towards them. How many of us have seen this book, The Heart of Man? How many of us have read it? Can you Google it there? We just use that to just run up. Can you Google The Heart of Man? I have a copy in my this thing, but I can't bring it out now. The Heart of Man. It was written, I think, in the 80s, in 18th centuries, by a German missionary. It was written in German. They've translated it into English. The heart of man. It's not this one. That one. Yes. Just go good. Just click it and let's see whether it will open. Can you go down? Let's see. Oh, this one is. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. There's one I saw. Go to this one here. Yes. Is that all? Okay, let's see another one. If let's see the one up. No. Go that. I don't know. No. They have. Yeah, it should open. They're all the same. Oh my. Okay, maybe I will. What I will do is I will send it to you. It's already 1 o'clock. Send it to you, and then we will just flip over it for the first 5 minutes next week. But if you can Google it and read it. I read that book from the day I gave my life to Christ. And that book so impacts my life. So impacts my life. Brother just gave me the pamphlet. So anywhere I go, I don't go without that book. I get that as the one I know so. The heart of man. May the Lord help us individually. All that have been cast out and destroyed this day, may we keep a pure heart before God, a clean heart before God. May we be able to say, my heart is clean before God. May I speak into you and talking to you, may I talk to you from the depth of my heart with truth. He desires truth in the inward part. May that truth be in our heart to the King of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God.